Have you ever asked, why did this happen? We ask it when the doctor says it's cancer, or when a child dies, or when we are betrayed. We also ask similar questions when we see things happening in the world, like the atrocities in Ukraine, or when terrorists slit people's throats and behead and burn babies. We also ask if when life does not go the way we planned or the way we wanted. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the wisdom of Solomon acknowledges that not everything in the world is right. Wisdom rightly sees that we live in a fallen world and that there are experiences common to all people, some of them good, some of them not good at all. So I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. I want you to notice that there will be seven pairs of comparisons. They're called chiasms in the Hebrew, meaning there's everything in between. And then the first line will say in Hebrew, for everything there is a time. And then the last part of our verse will say, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them up. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. There is a time for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. And God is telling us in advance that in this life, we will experience all kinds of things, some good and some bad. Now, even though we realize this and Scripture tells us that there's a time for everything, we still meet difficult times with anger or surprise, as if these things should not be happening to us. But God is telling us the good and beautiful world that he created has been tainted with sin. And so with times of celebration and joy and reward, there will be times of disappointment, struggle, and grief. Do not be surprised by suffering or by conflict. It comes as surely as our daily bread, our good times, and our seasons of joy. Now, as Solomon reflects on life where all kinds of things happen, he asks a question. So, what do we gain from all of our toil? Verse 10, he also says, I have seen the burden that God has laid on men. The Hebrew reads, I have seen the travail that God has laid on the sons of Adam. Adam is Adam in the Hebrew, and we translate Adam. But the sons of Adam points us back to the fall. And mankind has been in travail ever since. God has allowed the consequences of the fall to affect us because he created a world where what we do matters. So Solomon thinks, if we're going to suffer hardship in this life, if life has a lot of toil in it, And then after all of that, we die? Then what is the worth of living? And where is there hope? The answer of Solomon's wisdom is this: God makes all things beautiful in its time. This means that times of struggle and illness and sadness and weeping and death are not only used by God, but are redeemed by God to make something beautiful out of it. So why bother living in a world that's hard and difficult, with setbacks and pain? Because God makes something beautiful out of it. Now, that beauty can take many forms. It can mean the healing of hurts, the restoration of relationships, restoring a past that only had possibility of pain, physical healing that shows God's power, redeeming an incident in your life that was full of pain, restoring your joy after a time of grief, making you wise for making mistakes, developing new patience and character, and forming you into the image of Christ, because our character and our sanctification carries on into the next life. God does not cause everything that happens to you. He is not the author of sin, or of evil, or sickness, or injustice. But he is the God of redemption. If we embrace him and invite him into our struggle, he takes what is ugly and makes it beautiful. Our lives can be like a house that is repaired and improved after it's ruined by a storm. I remember the Andover tornado a few years ago. Some of our members had their homes damaged and wrecked by that tornado. But you talk to them today, and even though that was a terrible time, I heard one person say, "My house is beautiful. I love it." That's imagery of how the storms of life can bring ruin, but God restores. Or consider the dead grass in the Flint Hills. It's set ablaze to burn the dead grass that could not give life, but in the spring it's green and gives life to the cattle. We think of trial as fire, but fire also burns away that which was dross in our life, so that our life can actually give life to others. Adversity shapes our character, and the rewards of character carry on into the next life. Now, the beautiful restoration of God may take place in this life, or in the next life when we see the plan of our lives unfold and we see how it was for the glory of God and for our good. Now, this promise of restoration in life is a promise given to the people of God, to those who trust in Christ, who love him and are called according to his purposes. But we can invite others from the world, invite them to know this saving God who can restore their lives too. Now, though the world has fallen, creation still retains much of its goodness. But God has made beautiful is all around us, if we'll take time to experience it. There's the beauty of creation, the sunrise, the sunsets, the mountains, the snow, the flowers, the budding trees, music, art. Even the bitter cold reminds us to be thankful for the warmth. And there's also beauty in our lives, like love and family, and the beauty of Christian fellowship and worship. Notice the beauty that is all around you. Notice it and offer God a hymn of praise. There's a time for everything. There's a time to work and a time to retire. So what is next for me? Well, in the near future, I'll be having surgery for prostate cancer. I have a tentative date of February 7th, but I see a specialist in Kansas City this week. And we'll see if maybe I go with him and he may have another surgery date. But there is a time to face health issues and a time to recover. And with retirement, I think, or I hopefully think, that I'll be able to craft my time the way I somewhat desire. So I have to ask the question, what can I do that is most fruitful? How does the Lord want me to invest my time? Well, certainly I can invest more time in prayer. All those times I felt like I was rushed to get through my prayer time. Hopefully I'll just make more unrushed time, and perhaps I'll move to kingdom more than I ever have. I plan on investing in the lives of my children and grandchildren. Legacy is more important to me now than accomplishments. So I plan on passing on to them the legacy of wisdom and faith and love. I want to learn how to play the guitar. I want to learn multiple languages. I have a trip planned in Greece this coming fall. I plan on learning modern Greek. Then I want to go to Italy, and I think I'll learn Italian before that trip. Then I want to go to the Netherlands. My grandparents are Dutch, and I plan on learning Dutch. I do not plan on visiting China. I want to continue to do work that is meaningful and eternal. So I thought, what could I do to do that? And I've decided I want to do right now the ministry of being a life coach. I've received training for it, and I want to focus on helping young pastors. You know, young pastors get out of seminary and they learn how to preach and exegete the scripture, but they're clueless about everything else. I want to come alongside of them. Come alongside church workers and emerging leaders, and have a calling to help young people, whether they're in high school or in college, discern their calling. I read an article in the Wall Street Journal about a month ago. The title of the article is, "Our Boys Are Struggling." They're struggling emotionally, academically, finding purpose. I have a heart for them, and perhaps I can come alongside them. By the way, I'm going to have a new email. It's stanvwichita@gmail.com. Do you have that? I also have cards up there that'll be at the welcome desk after the service with my new email and my phone number. You know, Nikki Haley sends me texts all the time, so I figure you just will have my phone number too. Now, that said, I love you and I'll miss you. I see some people from the 8 o'clock service here. It's a smaller service. It's more intimate. I just felt like, man, you're a family. Like, there's just this closeness that I felt with you. I'm going to miss you. At 9:30, man, I've gotten used to good music. And you've blessed me, Tom and Anna. And, you know, I can see all your faces. And I can see the love. I'm grateful for that. I can close my eyes. I can imagine where you all sit. So I can imagine you even if I'm not here. There's a time for everything, including a time to say goodbye. For the church, you will enter a time of transition. A transitional pastor will come on February 1st, Ron Hawkins. He is a good man. He is like a doctor trained to diagnose, prescribe things for a church for the sake of its health, embrace what he brings to you. After that, a new pastor will come. We don't know who he is yet, but he will come. He will come with different ideas and unique gifts. He will be younger. The Lord will call him here for a purpose, and that purpose will be to move you from where you are to where God wants you to be, and that's movement. And he's also going to discern our community and help us become what we need to be to reach our community for Christ. We always have to adapt to the culture to reach them for Christ. And that will probably require change and flexibility on your part. But there is a time for everything under heaven. And there is always a time to grow and adapt. In the meantime, Eastminster, continue your work. Nancy and I will be looking for another church. And I've made a list, but, you know, frankly, none of them match you. I want a biblical church with solid theology. I want a church where it's not smoke and lights and performance, but where they actually worship God. I want a church that's serious about making disciples who follow Christ and form them into his image. I want a church that's not centered on itself, but has an outward focus into the community, is making a difference in the community, and has a global footprint and is affecting the gospel all over the world. I want a church that actually allows women to serve and lead. I want a church where families are being trained not to have fun, but not just to have fun, but to make their homes a center of discipleship and where young people actually come to Christ and walk with him. Eastminster is the best church in Wichita. You continue the work God has you to do. Do it with the excellent staff that is still here. Now, because there is a time for everything, our plans can be interrupted. Our plans are for what we want. But God's plans overrule ours. You know, I had plans. I was going to go to Cabo in January. I was going to go to California in February. I had a trip planned to Spain in April. But some of those plans may have to be surrendered for surgery for prostate cancer. And really, we all have to hold life loosely because there is a time for everything, and we normally don't make plans for things we don't want to happen. And since we cannot see the future, we have to believe that God is in it. That he is there already, even though we cannot see the future or see him. When James was just a kid, he was maybe about 6 or 7, I used to take our family to this place we called the ranch. It was kind of a dude ranch, and you'd stay in a cabin, and once you turned out the lights in the cabin, it was dark. You couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. So the kids were in their bunk beds, and I was in my bed, and I turned out the lights, and it was dark. About 10 minutes later, there's James's voice. Dad, 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 are you there? Yes, James, I'm here. But Dad, I can't see you. You don't have to see me. You just have to believe that I'm here. When we cannot see God, God's word tells us he is there. And what is he doing? He's doing all the things he said he would be doing. He's making something beautiful out of your life. God's plans and our plans do not often coincide. We have plans for life. We have plans for each day. We want other people to follow our plans. We have plans for success and happiness and joy. But in this world, there is a time for everything. I want you to expect all kinds of things. I want you to not be surprised when they happen. Instead, surrender the situation to the Lord and believe that He makes all things beautiful in its time. This is always our source of hope. Yes, there is a time for everything, but we cannot force the timing. If you hold a rosebud and you want to see the fully blossomed rose, you can't make that rosebud blossom. Try to open it, you will ruin it. It blooms at its own time. For us, that means that living life on this earth with its thorns and its beauty will require patience. Patience is the art of waiting, and it's something God wants us to cultivate. Notice, Jesus was never in a hurry. He who could make anything happen with just a word waited on His Father's timing. Patience is waiting and acting. When it comes to life, it's moving when God moves you. It's doing wisdom in the now. It's not putting off what is good and important. But it also means waiting for the plans of God to unfold and to actually consult with Him about His plans. Waiting is hard because sometimes we are waiting in the dark, and when it's dark, we imagine all kinds of terrible things. It's dark when love is lost, when we've lost a job or failed at something important to us. It's dark to endure abuse or to watch a loved one suffer or bury a child or live as a widow. So what is our hope in the darkness? He makes all things beautiful in its time. And so we hope in Him and we cling to Him and we wait patiently for His plans to unfold. We don't have to see it. We just have to believe that He is there. And if we do not see His plan while on the earth, we will see the glory of His plan in heaven. We are an impatient bunch. We want things to happen now, and we want our way right away. But have we ever considered that the plans of God unfold at their own time and for a reason? The timing of God is good. His timing has a reason. Sometimes our plans are interrupted so that His better plan can come about. There was once a young fellow who with his dad farmed a little piece of land, and several times each year they would take their harvest of vegetables and hook up their ox cart and travel to the city. Except for their name and the patch of ground, they had little in common. The old man believed in patience and enjoying life, and the boy was usually in a hurry. One morning very early, they hitched up the ox to the ox cart and started the long journey to the city. And the son figured that if they moved faster, they would get there early in the morning if they traveled day and night. And so he kept prodding the ox with a stick, urging the beast to go faster. "Take it easy, son," the father said. The ox will last longer." "But we need to get to the market before everyone else," said the young man. Well, 4 hours down the road, they came to a little house, and the father smiled and said, "This is your uncle's place. Let's stop in and visit with him." "What? We're already an hour behind." "Well then, what will a few minutes matter? We live so close and we see your uncle so seldom. So he had tea with his uncle slash brother. They visited and laughed for over an hour, and then he started on their trail again. The father was leading the ox cart now, and when they came to a fork in the road, the father wanted to take the road to the right, and the son said, "Let's take the road to the left. It's much quicker." The father said, "Well, this way is much more beautiful." "Have you no respect for time?" said the son. "Oh, I very much respect time," said the father. "That's why I take my time, to enjoy life, enjoy the beauty of the earth." "This is the last trip I'm taking with you," said the son. "You're more interested in watching sunsets than you are in making money." The father replied, "Why, that's the nicest thing you've said about me in a long time." They spent the night in a beautiful forest near a waterfall and wild flowers, but the son did not notice. He was angry and he fumed all night. Before sunrise, the young man shook his father awake. They hitched up and went on, and about an hour down the road, they saw another farmer with his ox cart stuck in a ditch, and the father said, "We need to stop and help this man." The son said, "What? And waste more time?" The father said, "You may find yourself in a ditch someday. We need to help others." So after they got that other farmer's ox cart out of the ditch, they noticed a flash in the sky and a sound of great thunder, and the sky above the hills grew dark. Father said, "It looks like it's going to be rain." And the son said, "If we had hurried, we would be sold out by now." "Take it easy," said the father. "You'll last longer and you'll enjoy life so much more." It was late afternoon by the time they got to a hill overlooking the city. And he looked at the city for a very long time. Then the son put his hand on his father's shoulder and said, "I know what you mean, Dad." Then they turned the ox cart away and rolled away from the city that had once been Hiroshima. The Lord's timing is right, and his timing has a reason. So we will be patient and wait for him, for he makes all things beautiful in its time. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for the beauty of the earth. We thank you for the love and fellowship of family, and for the friendships in this life, and for the sweet mercy of the gospel and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we're grateful for all of this. But we also have trials in life. Perhaps some are in the midst of one right now. Maybe people are contemplating decisions. Maybe we're worried about a loved one. Maybe we are suffering grief. Whatever this is, Lord, we're going to give it to you. We're going to believe that you are present and working. And we're going to pray, Lord, that you will redeem all these things in your good and perfect time. In the meantime, Lord, give us confidence in your word. Speak to us assurance by the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, hear our prayer. Hear your people praying, and we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.